Welcome back to The Word in 10. We're studying heaven and setting our mind on the things above. Let's think about Revelation 21 and 22, starting in chapter 21, verse 2, where it says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" In heaven, we will be in God's presence permanently, where he will cherish us like a husband cherishes his wife on their wedding day. This has always been God's desire, and he can't wait to experience this uniting with us. I remember when I got married, and I remember the joy of seeing my wife for the first time. And I remember as I looked in her eyes as she came down that aisle to know that she was going to be mine forever. It brought me to tears, that joy and that experience. And that is what is going to happen between God and us. We are going to lock eyes with one another, and God will dwell among us. And that is going to bring him great joy. He is not going to be some passive observer or unavailable monarch, but rather he's going to be the perfect husband, present and relationally engaged. We read on in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." In heaven, God will heal our grief and our pain. God's going to come to you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to wipe away every tear. One thing this implies about heaven is that we're going to remember our old lives. There's going to be continuity between our lives here and our ones coming there. Once we reach the new heavens and the new earth, we won't even mourn any longer. And honestly, it's hard for me to understand that. How could we possibly overcome some of the grief we will or have experienced in this life? And yet, while I find this perplexing, I do know this. Getting to personally interact with God and speak with him is going to change everything. Later in chapter 22, verse 4, John says that they will see God's face and his name will be on their foreheads. And I love this. We're going to see God. I was trying to envision what this would look like. You know, on YouTube, you'll see videos where kids with vision impairments see their moms for the very first time. You got to check out videos like this. They're so wholesome. And what happens is that a baby with a vision impairment who's maybe been alive for 1, 2, 3 years, they get glasses. And when they see their mother for the first time, they are filled with joy immediately. The second they lock eyes with their mother and see them for the first time, they have a smile from ear to ear. And I find that kind of surprising because they've never seen their mom, yet they know it's their mom. How is that possible? Well, they've heard their mom's voice. They felt her touch. They know her comfort. The only thing they've never experienced about their mother is that they've never seen her face. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." We know God's voice. We've experienced God's comfort. And when we see him, children like what I just described are just a small slice, a small picture of the kind of joy that we are going to feel. We are going to be overwhelmed with joy at seeing the Father that we have known and served for all these years, and now finally have the privilege of seeing face to face. We will know immediately that it was all worth it. Most of us Christians, we're a mixed bag. We have love for God, but we also have doubts and fears. But when you see God, all of that doubt is going to melt away, and you're going to have him forever and know that everything that you did was worth it. When we meet him, God's not only going to comfort us, he's even going to reward us. Back in Revelation 22, Jesus says in verse 12, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to each person according to what they have done." Talk about an undeserved gift. We don't deserve heaven, yet we get it free of charge through grace. The fact that God is also going to give us spiritual rewards based on our service for him is incredible. This is a primary motivator for the Christian to serve God. God promises to reward you. And some Christians feel apprehensive about desiring spiritual reward. But if Jesus promotes it, why wouldn't we desire it? A father doesn't want his child to deny his generosity. He wants his kid to enjoy the gifts he provides. And in the same way, we should be excited. We should be eager for spiritual reward so that our Heavenly Father can have the joy of seeing you, his child, enjoy it. And so thinking about these scriptures, we need to remember that we're all going to see God, but we're not all going to see him the same way. Christians who've received Christ by faith, they'll see him as their savior, but there are many people who will see him as their judge. Some of us listening here maybe even have never actually received Christ as our savior in life. And yet we can do this simply by what Romans 10:9 says, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We need to think about whether or not we've done this, or if we've been holding on to the commonly held belief that we can be saved by our good works. Good deeds do earn us spiritual reward, but they cannot get us into heaven. That is simply by grace through faith, and that's a gift that we should receive. And for those of us who have, are we eager to see God? Have we envisioned this day? There's a lot of grief we go through in this life, but God's going to heal it. There's a lot of pain we experience. We suffer for Jesus. But in this moment, when we lock eyes with God, we're going to realize that it was all worth it. Truth will become crystal clear when we see God. Eternal joy will be actualized. Our hard work for God will be rewarded. Are you eager to see God? And lastly, Revelation ends with these words. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Do you pray for the Lord to return? Are you eagerly anticipating and asking for him to return and to set things right, to meet him? Because there will be no greater day than the uniting of God and his church. That's all we have for today. For more resources, please visit our website at www.dwellcc.org.